State Representative Don Shooter has been stripped of all of his committee assignments and faces a censure vote after a report investigating allegations of sexual harassment against the Yuma lawmaker was released yesterday. The report found credible evidence Shooter violated House of Representatives policy against sexual harassment. Here's House Speaker J.D. Mesnard after the report was released yesterday afternoon.
I believe there's enough evidence in this report for us to make a value judgment over the next 48 hours, and that's what I'm encouraging my colleagues to do.
With me to talk about the report and what comes next at the Capitol is Howie Fisher of Capitol Media Services. And Howie, Representative Shooter is off of his committees and faces a censure vote. Practically speaking, what does all that mean?
Well, being off of the committees in a lot of ways neuters his ability to represent his constituents, because while he'll still be able to participate in the floor votes, and still can, you know, debate there. A lot of the real work at the legislature is done at the committee level. That's where bills are worked. That's where a lot of the key amendments are proposed. And if he has no role there, he's kind of stuck with what makes it to the floor in many ways. And so that interferes with his ability, I think, to reflect the views of his constituents. The censure is more of a public rebuke. You know, it's not like, you know, the old movies where they take you down and they pull off your epaulets or something like that. But it's more of a public vote that, in fact, he has violated the standards of the House and that he deserves to be reprimanded and done in a public way. What effect that has? Nothing legally, but it might affect his ability to run for election should he choose to do that.
Have you gotten a sense of when that vote might happen and whether or not passage of that is a sure thing, that his colleagues will, in fact, vote to censure him?
At this point, it's scheduled for sometime tomorrow. I am pretty sure the votes are there for censure. See, one of the issues came down to when we asked House Speaker J.D. Mesnard why not push for expulsion. And he had several reasons, including many of the things that Shooter had done had occurred before he was in the House when he was a senator. But there's another simple fact. Expulsion takes a two-thirds vote. And a censure, by contrast, takes a simple majority. And my guess is that the Speaker can pull together most of his Republicans. The Democrats, for their part, some of them were saying they didn't think it went far enough. So I don't know how they could vote against a censure if they think expulsion is appropriate.
Yeah, Howie, I'm wondering what Shooter's colleagues at the Capitol make of all this, what they make of what came out in the report and what they think about the steps that Speaker Mesnard is taking and will be taking.
Well, on the first part of it, I hate to say it, but I think a lot of it wasn't a surprise. Anybody who's known Shooter know he's, for lack of a better word, a bit of a smartass. He's a bit of a clown. And in some ways, when referring to women, he's a bit of a pig. I hate to put it in those terms, but even those people who testified to the investigator on his behalf, when they were asked, did he say something, even if they didn't witness it, they'd say, yeah, that sounds like something that Don would say. So I don't think much of this is a surprise. I think there may have been some incidents in there they weren't aware of because it was, as you point out, it was a fairly extensive report. But I don't think the basic content of what they found was much of a surprise at all.
Did Speaker Mesnard explain why he did not refer this issue to the Ethics Committee, why he just decided to go ahead with the steps that he took himself?
Well, that's one of the more fascinating questions here. Under normal circumstances, if anybody levels a complaint, as Michelle Ugenti-Rita did, it goes first to the ethics chairman. That's Eddie Farnsworth. The ethics chairman gets to look at the issue and say, first of all, is there a violation here? I think Mr. Farnsworth was assuming that the allegations against Mr. Shooter would go first to him. He was bypassed. I don't think he's exactly happy about that. But what the speaker said was, well, this is different because it involves people coming forward. And the idea that they might not come forward if it had to be a public hearing, because that's where it would go to if the Ethics Committee decided that there was at least some basis for it, and he wanted to protect people's privacy. I think the troubling part to some lawmakers about that is the ethics panel is designed to be, if not a trial, at least something close to that, where you get to confront the witnesses against you. And that was denied to Don Shooter. And I think that if this becomes the new norm for how certain things are going to be handled, I think some lawmakers may find that troubling down the road.
Howie, I don't think there's a real elegant way to make this pivot, but we'll do it anyway. A judge this week ruled that the issue of the school voucher expansion will be allowed to go forward, denied a motion to take it off the ballot. What did the judge say, and what does that mean going forward?
Well, as you know, Save Our Schools Arizona gathered more than the 75,000 signatures necessary to put on the ballot what lawmakers approved earlier this year, which was expansion of the voucher system. That allows people to use public dollars to send their children to private and parochial schools. A lot of the folks in Save Our Schools said, well, wait a second here. This started out as a program for children with special needs, and then it got expanded to children in DNF schools and foster children. And now they want to make vouchers available to everyone, albeit with a cap. The people who want the vouchers to be expanded went to court and said, well, there's a whole set of irregularities on the petitions. And the judge looked at it and said, well, let me make a couple of points. Number one, which is the most overwhelming, is that the law that allows individuals to sue over a referendum was not in effect at the time that the petitions were turned in. So, A, you have no standing. So at this point, we know there'll be an appeal, but unless it's overturned, or unless the legislature does something, voters will get the last word on whether they want a wider system of vouchers.
What is the word down at the Capitol, Howie? I mean, are lawmakers looking at possibly repealing or amending this law somewhat, which would basically make the referendum scheduled for this fall moot?
There is certainly talk down here. I think that a lot of lawmakers do not want this on the ballot. I think the governor does not want this on the ballot. Remember, Governor Ducey signed the vouchers into law, the voucher expansion. He's going to be on the ballot himself. And I think that there's a certain fear there that if the people get to come out and decide, do they want more public dollars going to private and parochial schools? If they don't want that, they'll say, I'll come out for that. And by the way, I think I'll vote against the guy who signed it into law. So predictions are hard to make, but I'd be willing to bet most of our readers lunch, dinner, and a nightcap that this does not make the ballot in November.
It's very generous of you, Howie. That's Howie Fisher of Capital Media Services. Good to talk to you. Thanks as always.
You're welcome.